Welcome to the Luminous Podcast, weekly meditations, readings, and blessings to assist with our rest, peace, and spiritual wellness. You can find out more at luminousanglican.com.
It's hard to believe that we are here in Proper 23 of Ordinary Time, coming to the end of another liturgical year. The text for today from the Psalm, Philippians, and the Gospel of Matthew is just rich, deep, layered. We're looking at Philippians 4, 1 through 9. This is the NRSV. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, my beloved, I urged Euodia and I urge Shenicti to be the same in mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, these women, help them, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord. We've been looking through the book of Philippians over the past few weeks. Today, we'll discuss a quiet mind and a hopeful heart. Paul, in the Philippians reading today, begins with stand firm in the Lord. In the Lord, meaning our forward movement is like our constant movement on the surface of the earth. We are held by gravity, yet simultaneously spinning at a tremendous speed. Constantly in motion, yet constantly at rest. We're held and tethered through all. This has to really sound like a oath of clergy that we make at ordination. It echoes that for me. And I'm sorry to state the obvious, but most of our realities around us are more chaotic and frenetic than peaceful or restful. Not just the news from Gaza and Israel, but we have climate chaos, cultural and political chaos. It's everywhere. And it's truly overwhelming. Our world, we need to slow down more than ever to rest. And in so doing, Paul is saying that we would actually become aware of Christ present at each moment. Rather than being nostalgic for the past or dreaming or worrying about the future that we cannot yet see, much less control. Surely you've never had anyone misquote scripture to you. I say maybe at you, perhaps is a bit more on point. But rather than weaponizing scripture, New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine argues that scripture is supposed to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And I would add, when applied appropriately. See, this passage from Philippians has been used in many ways for many of us. We have heard Paul's teaching here, and we have heard it distorted or even amplified to the place unacceptability, like it's or unattainable. What needs to be done in Paul's view here is to live by the promise that Christ will transform us over time, not instantaneously, not a transfiguration in the moment, but over the course of time and life, that we will grow and expand into goodness and the light of Christ, Philippians 3:21. So there's a few points I'd like to make from this passage. First, Paul pleads with two women leaders from Philippi who apparently are at odds with each other. And we know really nothing else about them, nor the loyal companion who Paul asked to help. What we do know is that they were valued fellow missionaries who had shared Paul's struggles in the work of the gospel. They provide evidence for the leadership roles of women in Paul's church. I'm not sure where we got off from this, but this is a wonderful affirmation for women doing the work of the gospel. And we know that Paul's plea for reconciliation draws on his earlier depiction of the mind of Christ in Philippians 2:1-5. That Dan Wilt spoke of just a few weeks ago. Secondly, Paul encourages us to rejoice. He writes this from the horrors of a Roman prison. He cites the reason for this rejoicing is that the Lord is near. And when someone says this in Scripture, it is almost never meaning the imminent return of Christ, the second advent, who will put things, all things right. We always look at this as an opportunity of just ejecting ourselves out of our current reality and just wait for our inevitable expedition. We watch the world burn and wait for evacuation. It's not what this is. This is more that God was and is near in our suffering, in our darkness, in our tragedies, in the unthinkable. Here's a bit of a pivot. 1 in 3 Gen Z humans have increased anxiety. And I'm sure that we could probably say similar stats for millennials. And for Gen X, it's 1 in 5. I'm 1 in 5. Our wellness isn't dictated by our anxieties. It is simply what we have to navigate. Much of our deepest concerns that give us an ongoing unsettledness are subtle attachments to thoughts, affections, ideologies that are rooted in expectations that are absolutely impossible to achieve or attain. If you don't believe this, just have a conversation with one of the many therapists around you here at the parish. When Paul says, in everything by prayer and supplication, he is meaning earnest and humble. with thanksgiving. This is Eucharistic. It's our posture of coming to the table with open hands, open hearts, and open minds with thanksgiving, at the great Thanksgiving. We can bring everything, no matter how large or how small. Mindfulness, prayer, and thanksgiving are all connected. They are one. Yeshua meets us at this place of unsettledness and anxiety because Christ has descended from to the depths of humanity. Therefore, God has become for us the God whose peace transcends all understanding. Thomas Keating writes in his book on prayer, as Saint Thomas Aquinas taught, whatever we say about God is more unlike God than anything said. If you do say something, it is only to be a pointer towards the mystery that can never be articulated in words. All that words can do is point in the direction of the mystery. A couple more points here as we wrap. Thirdly, Paul tells us to focus our minds on what is true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable. Is this just an exercise in positive thinking, or is Paul holding two realities in the same view at the same time? The reality of God's redemption, already here and still drawing near, is training our minds to think of this reality and therefore to act with hope. This is a daily mental discipline, especially during these days. Finally, once again, Paul promises that the outcome of these habits in the heart and mind is the peace that passes all understanding. Written from jail, a man under threat of capital punishment, waiting a sentence of execution at the hands of a corrupt government. These are extraordinary promises. You know, Rome was always at war somewhere. The so-called Pax Romana was anything but for the people of Rome. And Tatius, a Roman senator who served Rome, once wrote, "They make desolation and call it peace." Paul sees a different reality alongside the violence and duplicity of Rome. The small and struggling Christian congregation in the Roman colony of Philippi, confident in the ultimate reality of the God of peace, he encourages them and us to have quiet minds and a hopeful heart. You know, for the first 16 centuries, contemplation was referred to as resting in God. This was deep practices of meditation in the midst of any and all situations. May we join with those before us in times of conflict and chaos, as well as in times of rest and peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you would like more information or ways to be a part of Luminous, please go to luminousanglican.com. Peace be with you.